Brilliance Audio. The Vanishing Tide by Hilary Taylor. Performed by Hannah Curtis. O Mary, go and call the cattle home, and call the cattle home, and call the cattle home. Across the sands, O Dee. The western wind was wild and dank with foam, and all alone went she. From the Sands of Dee by Charles Kingsley. Prologue. It is always the same. The sun is setting, and there is no sign of her yet. She sits on the sea wall back to the lagoon, kicking the heels of her sandals, waiting for Claire. She has developed a quiet patience for her sister's timekeeping, but the baby will be awake soon and she must get back. Her gaze tracks the cockle wagon as it trundles down the long stretch of sand, the men sitting on the edge with their rakes and buckets, their legs dangling and swaying as they laugh and joke. Their voices become faint and begin to recede into the wail of the seagulls and the advancing tide. She squints into the sunset as it suddenly stops. A solitary man leaping from the back, tearing into the water. This is when the shouting begins. The wagon becomes alive with men. Jumping onto the sand and sprinting through the sea, kicking up foam and stone like so many wild horses. They surround the object of their disquiet. One of them, still a boy, turns and vomits into his hands. She sees them gather a dark shape and heave it clear above the water. It is only when that beautiful hair falls back into the waves like an inky waterfall that she knows Claire isn't coming back. Chapter 1. Isla. March. Sliding the key into the lock was harder than she thought. Isla had waited almost 10 years to enter this house, and now she didn't need Astrid's permission. She still felt like an intruder. A salty wind stung her skin as her wrist angled itself against the doorknob. A complicated sleight of hand only 3 people, now 2, could perform to get the key to turn. A click gave way to a groan as the door swung slowly in. Isla put her rucksack down, hung her coat on the only hook in the hallway, and considered her inheritance. The old leather armchair was still there in the sitting room, but the floor was uncluttered by the mess she remembered as a child. It had never been this tidy when she was growing up. The air didn't smell as if it had been sealed up against the world, and there were no strands of tobacco scattered across the coffee table. The bowl containing Astrid's Rizzlers and her carefully wrapped chunks of resin had gone. It could have been an ordinary room, where a normal family might live an unremarkable life. The deception was unsettling. The only thing that looked familiar was an enormous metal shelving system running the length and height of the wall. Hundreds of art books hurled together and threatening to topple at the lightest touch. She looked at the titles and recalled that several of them had once been aimed at her head, one after another, whizzing by in a blur of colour. She opened the door to the dining room, quickly averting her eyes from the painting above the fireplace, a habit from childhood she could not shake off. It had always given her the creeps. Maybe she would have liked it more if somebody else had painted it. Somebody nicer. It was worth more than the house, she knew that. And the house was worth a fortune. You weren't allowed to build this close to the shoreline anymore, and the view to the sea was stupendous. Astrid regularly fended off estate agents who came knocking. The building, more than 100 years old, needed renovation and was ripe for profit. She never let them down kindly. Upsetting people who wanted something from her was a sport in which Astrid excelled. Now it was Isla wandering through the rooms like a prospective buyer, noting the jobs that needed to be done, the cracks that had to be filled. It wasn't too bad.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?